జయముషుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజుగాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణ భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజుగాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురముని ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajarini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Dharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయవత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పరిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థోవల్సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం యోగై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరహ ప్రపీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే నూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘైరీ యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యై స్తవై వేదై సాంగవదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయందియం సామగాహం ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా వశందియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So we were discussing this 49th verse. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalpa vigadaspraha nashkarmya siddhim paramam sannyasanadi gacchadi. Krishna is saying that the what sannyasam is, nashkarmya siddhi is sannyasam, and he defined, Acharya Swami defined that as yasmad నిష్క్రియ బ్రహ్మాల్ప సంబోధా స నిష్కర్మ తస్య భావో నైష్కర్మ్యం. మీన్స్ వన్ హూ హాస్ బికమ్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ కర్మం. దీస్ ఆర్ వెరీ హైయర్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ టు ఈవన్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ కర్మం ఈస్ బైండింగ్ అస్. ఈవన్ దాట్ రియలైజేషన్ డజంట్ కమ్ వెరీ ఈజీలీ. ఈవన్ దో వీ సే టాక్ అబౌట్ అవిద్య కామం కర్మం, the impact of karma on us, how it is binding us to the material world. So that understanding itself, it takes a long time to come, that karma is doing damage to us. Karma is not helping. the purpose of all this is to free ourselves from this karma. And that's not easy. And that is why he is saying here that one who has become free from karma, or one in whom karma has left him once for all, that's naishkarmam, right? And its siddhi means its perfection. That means there is no more karma vasanas inside. Karma cannot do any more damage to him. That state. That's how dangerous karma is. But to get to that understanding takes time. Because day one we start this karma. Is it not? As soon as we grow up, that's first what is in our mind so strongly. And this rajogunam inside us, rajoriyaha karma paraha, he says, is it not? So rajogunam and karma, they go hand in hand. So karma pushes us strongly, rajogunam pushes us strongly towards karma, and that's not easy to come. So to understand all this, you have to look into sannyasis who are elevated in these aspects and their discussions with each other about it, about karma, how they see karma. So when Vivekananda Swamiji was in Kerala, there were two personalities whom he met, and it is all in the records also. One of them was a jnani, other one was a yogi. Narayana Guru was a jnani, Chattambi Swamiji was a yogi, and he had discussions with them. And you know what Vivekananda did was, before he went to America, he traveled all over the country and met so many spiritual personalities. And because he was making up his mind whether to go or not to America. And he says that, it is not that I did all this. All their tapas in all these personalities whom I met, they have put their tapas in me and forced me to go, he says about it in his own records, right? So when he was meeting these two personalities, he was obviously discussing. He was interested in Jnana Margam and the Yoga Margam, and these two, Chattambi Swamiji was very famous for his yoga achievements in the yoga side, Ashtanga Yoga, and Narayana Guru was a jnani. So, and Narayana Guru used to go and visit Chattambi Swamiji at that time. And so one day Narayana Guru came to see Chattambi Swamiji, and Narayana Guru was wearing saffron. One particular, obviously, he used to wear white before, suddenly changed over to saffron, right? So Chattambi Swamiji asked him, "What has happened to you? Why have you changed to saffron?" He said that some people from Sri Lanka has invited him to come there, and there it was. You are talking about the early 1900s. This incident happened. So in Sri Lanka, there is all these Buddha bhikshus were there, and they were all having saffron. So if you go there in the white, it will be very difficult to relate with them. So he says, so he said to him, "You started wearing saffron now?" He said, "Yes, I worn this because they told me that I should wear saffron when I come there." And he was just joking about wearing saffron. Because in their mind, saffron is not the important thing. This, what he is saying, the naishkarma siddhi, paramam sannyasanadi gacchari, right? So he says, Narayana Guru says to him, "I'm still doing my work, but the person is not there who is doing the work." That's how he answered. That means kartrutvam has gone. Work is going on, but kartrutvam has gone. But he put it in a different way. He said, "Work is going on, but the person is not there," he said. So that means that bhavam has gone, that I am doing the work, right? And such a karmam, if you have that bhavam, then that is not karmam. It is akarmam. It is akarmam. So, so that's what it's mentioning here. In the Bhashyam, he says, Samyak darshanena tat purvagena va sarva karma sannyasena adigacchati prapnoti. Right? Now, this is a very difficult thing for someone who does not know the history to understand the where this is coming from, right? You see, among the Brahmanas also, in the modern world, they won't understand this very much because that Brahminical society has moved away from this, right? But you have to look into their life also to understand this, right? So, in karma, more generally, in them days, karmakandam was from the Vedam point of view, Vaidigam side, from Vedam side, right? They generally, Brahmanas will be busy with their Vaidika Karmanushtanam, that means karmakandam. Karmakandam has a big role on their life, in their life, right? And they will, if they are in the karmakandam followers, they'll be living in a disciplined way. Generally, they'll live in a disciplined way. Means waking up early in the morning, going to bathe in the river or tanks and going to the temples. And many hours in the morning they will spend at the temple. By the time they come home, it will be 11, 12 before they have their first meal. That tradition has gone now, practically gone now. But in them days, there were many, many people like that who lived that life. Waking up by 2, 3 o'clock, they're up and they left home. And even though it was dark, they will have, simple systems of torch, and they will go and bathe in the river or tank near the temple, and then they'll spend the whole morning hours in the temple. So, they are the people who are following the Vaidya Karma, right? And if you look into Bhagavadam, he is saying that, who says this? Our Avirhotra Maharshi, in the Niminava Yogi Samadham, if you look into the third chapter, 46th verse, he's saying, Vedoktameva Kurvano Nisangam Arpidam Ishvare Naishkarmyam Labhade Siddhim Rojanartha Bhalashruti. So you can see from that verse, Vedoktameva Kurvano Nisangam Arpidam Ishvare Naishkarmyam Labhade Siddhim Rojanartha Bhalashruti. So if you do that Vedoktam Eva Kurvanam, if you perform that karma, it will lead into Naishkarma Siddhi. How does that happen? By executing the Karmakandam, right? So when Melpathur spoke about this to Krishna, he said, told him that Vedai Sarvani Karmani Abhala Bharadaya Varnidani Idi Buddhva Tani Toy Arpidani Vahi Samanujaranyani Naishkarma Mishe. He's saying that all Vaidika karma has been done with Abhala Bharadaya, without expectation of any results, and everything offered to you with the Samarpana Buddhi, then it will turn into Naishkarma. It will become Naishkarma at the end, right? Ma Bhudvair Dvair Nishidhe. Kuhajit Abhimana Karma Vajam Pravartir Durvarjam Chedavaptam Tadabi Gharibhavat Yarpaye Chil Pragashe. This is the important bit. What he is saying is that, see, people who have come in the Vedic tradition, now that's not there, that is the problem. So people, it will come very theoretical. But there was some time, a society like that is amazing verse that is. People who have come in the Veda traditions, right? What is their nature? A lot of people have come in that tradition. What is generally their nature? From birth itself, they have been told not to go and do work anymore, not to work for anybody. It's not in their nature to accept service anywhere. They're born like that, and that is induced into them from the early days itself. Like today it is totally opposite, isn't it? It has become the other way. Everyone is told you have to educate, and work. But that was opposite then, right? So they don't have any experience of working. They don't have that concept, I have to go to work at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock. That doesn't exist, right? And also, they are not used to working under someone. either in the office or in the factory or wherever it is, right? And they also don't know what a profession means. They just don't know what a profession means, right? And for the sake of money, it is difficult for them to work, to get money, right? Or any other kind of work. And this is how they are. They have come in that parambara system, that they are not used to going to work, not used to earn themselves, and they didn't have any inspiration to go to work or to do any kind of work. It was not there. So naturally, kamya karma, fruitive activities, is unknown to them. What that means is unknown to them. Not today. I'm talking about years ago, before that, right? So therefore, some people, because the society is changing, continuously it's changing. It's not every time it remains the same. It's constantly going through changes. Like now, people are so different from the people then, isn't it? So you can understand that they don't have, that time they did not believe in these things, what today the society believes in, right? So many of them, by the age of 12, 13, they have this background that they are not used to working anywhere, and they have followed the Vedic tradition. For them it is like that. No attraction for going to work. Living in poverty, acceptable. Nobody will say anything to them because they are poor. Nobody will say anything to them. And in such a situation, they were doing that only because of the respect for the Vedam. Because of the respect for the Vedam, they have to protect the Vedam, right? And so, in that sampradayam, what they have, they were born with that, right? And in that, when they were doing was, they were doing the karmam that is necessary for their Vedic tradition, like Sandhya Vandanam, Nitya Karma. They will do that. That was their karma. They do their Sandhya Vandanam all the three times. And if you have to do that, going to work is difficult. Is it not? You know, when you have to do Sandhya Vandanam three times at the proper time, and you have to bathe, and all these problems, so it was impossible for them to go to work also. There was no question at all. So, so many people have come in that tradition, right? And then what happened was, situation became very difficult because changes happening in the society. Temples have become poor. They could not provide the minimum what these people are looking for, because government changed, the policies changed, the British left India, and it had its own effect on everything, the administration. Because when the kings lost the power, immediate effect was that the temples got into trouble. Kings maintained the temples. They have given huge amount of land for the temples, and basically the land was owned by the temple. And these people who were doing, agriculture was the main occupation, right? Agriculture was the main occupation. So the farmers had to give a certain amount of income from the land to the temple. So temples were never poor. It was not dependent on the donations of the public. And the kings ruled, all kings did the same thing, more or less, the same thing, without much difference. So the king, the temple and the public, they had a relationship like this. The kings maintain the temple. They'll make sure that if you don't pay the dues to the temple, then you'll be asked to leave from the land. You lose your livelihood. So, and they also accepted that. They also knew this, that this certain amount, 10% or 20%, whatever that is, they have fixed all that. Everything in terms of the yield from the ground, from the land, right? So that was the system. So what happened was, when the temples are going through these changes, government is changing, the people who are doing the cultivation, they've also become different. They started realizing they could get away without paying to the temple. That naturally, it's understandable that the nature they have, right? At that time, the Brahmanas started realizing they have to find some livelihood. And that is how they have come out of their traditional way of life into educating themselves in the modern way, modern education, and looking for employment. These things is an after effect of that. When you have disturbed that system, it has disturbed their life as well. And they had to leave they had to change their way of life, right? So, so they started karma. Karma means kamya karma. Till then, they were doing only nitya karma, sandhyavandanam and things, which is not kamya karma. Now kamya karma has come to them. Kamya karma means fruitive activities. So you can see how a whole group of people were switched from their, forced from their peaceful life, living condition. They didn't ask for much. All the temples were providing them was prasadam twice a day. And rest of the time they were busy with the services at the temple or staying at home, studying shastram and discussing shastram. This was their way of life. All that has gradually changed. And they were brought into this way of life now that they had to get educated. And it kept increasing day by day. Right? So when kamya karma started, when they started working and earning money and all that, it was not easy for them to adjust with this situation, right? So gradually they realized that even if they have to do karma, then that karma also won't be based on the shastram, because naturally vigarmam will come into it. Isn't it? Lot of vigarmam will come into it, which is not allowed for them. But they are conscious of that. It is not allowed, and that they are doing it. So you can imagine the conflict inside for them. So what happened was, then the sannyasam nature has changed. They had to work for a certain number of years in the world to earn livelihood. But when they retire, at least, they want to go back to their original mode, how they lived, that giving up karma and totally dependent on, whatever income they ever had, they had saved up. Or in that time, the pension system and all didn't exist. They had a system called provident fund and all that. If you work for, because most of the jobs were in the government only. There was no public enterprises, industry and businesses and all didn't exist. Most of the jobs were in the government. Government was the service provider. And the government will give them a lump sum amount when they retire. They will take some money from their wages during their service period, and government will add on to it some money, and they will give them a lump sum amount. And these people, that lump sum what they get, they will deposit in the bank, and with the interest, they will maintain themselves for the rest of their life. That's how they managed. So, Vaidika sannyasam has changed. How? They have started taking sannyasam after that because they know that what they were doing throughout life was not based on Vedam. They moved away from that. So they're feeling guilty about that. So gradually they want to go back to sannyas ashram again because the vasana is inside there in that way. So some of them didn't have this karmagandam opportunity. Suppose you were in karmakandam, what would have happened was you would have gone straight from the childhood into performing yajnam, yagam and all that. That's the karmakandam. But yajnam, yagam also stopped. So there was no engagement there. Then they have gone into, some of them who are very serious, because that spiritual life is there in them, the desire for spiritual life. So they moved without going into karmakandam, they came into jnanakandam. They start studying shastram to Vedantam and everything. They came in that way. In other words, in some of them, there was no karmakandam either. Only for karmam was only for namesake. They did some karmam, right? But others among them, they did the kamya karmam for some period of time and then gradually they gave it up at a certain stage in life when they feel that they can manage somehow. Not that they wanted a lot, but even to maintain, if you need something to live, you have to maintain the body at the end, isn't it? And then you have children and all that things, right? So this giving up karma for them, those who followed the Vedam, was a difficult thing because of the changes happening in the society, how it was affecting their, occupations, right? So they knew, for them karmam is not important. Karmam is not important. Karmam is seen only as a stepping stone to bhakti or jnanam. It's a stepping stone to bhakti or jnanam. That means through karmam, and Krishna made that as karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma kandam in the Vedam, Krishna made it as karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavatam, you could see that it came through the Varahamurti's appearance. Yajnavaraham. It's basically Karmakandam it is, spoken in a Bhagavatam way, Bhagavatam style. You can see the connections between all that. Yeah? So they were thinking that when you, how do we come out of karma? When you give up karma at the end, right? He is ready for giving it up, right? So Gayatri, they had to chant Gayatri every day. For Brahmanas, that is important, every day chanting Gayatri. Some Brahmanas used to chant, they call it a Sahasravarti, because they have so much faith in the Gayatri mantra. So 1,000 times they will chant Gayatri, which will take many hours. To whole morning they will be chanting Gayatri, right? And then this Sandhyavandanam, Nityakarma, 3 times a day. So practically they have no time for anything else. This is their main engagement, right? So they are karmam, what is spoken in the Shruti and the Smriti. Then Upanayanam, samskaram, with the Upanayanam, they enter into this field and they have to follow it through the life. That was their life, right? So then there is 2 things called Adhyaropam and Abhavadam. What that means is, Adhyaropa means that you have kept something on top of the other. In what sense? And abhavada means you becoming totally free from everything, right? So from these 2 things, from Adhyaropam and Abhavadam, becoming totally free from that is sannyasam. In their understanding, is sannyasam. That is what Krishna is saying. Naishkarma siddhim paramam sanye sanadi gachadi. Let's understand what this abhavadam and adhyaropa means. Adhyaropa means that you have stacked up one thing over the other on yourself through the bodily identification. Yeah? Bodily identity is there, and then other identities that you have added on to it. With the bodily identity. With the bodily identity, what happens? Bodily identification happens first. And then on top of that, all other identities comes. Like you are an Indian or American, or a householder, grahastha or whatever, brahmachari or whatever. These are all imposed ones on your personality. On your personality. Jiva does not have any of these things. They are all superimposed on them, right? And then you are a businessman or an engineer or a doctor. These are all things what has come upon you as an impurity. It is not your identity. It has nothing to do with the soul. Soul is totally free from all these things. So that is called Adhyaropa. Abhavada means you becoming completely free from all these identities, right? So that is what he is saying here in this Bhashyam also. He is saying that in the Vaidika Parampara, those who have come in the tradition of the Vedam, they will do everything with that respect to the Vedam. What Vedam has spoken, they cannot move away from that. Such was their commitment to Vedam, right? And they won't go and do things in an uncontrolled way, like the way people do now, isn't it? People are going everywhere, where is money, where can we find a job, where can we... That was not their way of life. That means what Vedam says, they will follow that first. Other, their priorities first is Vedam and all other things later, right? So if Vedam says to do karmam, they'll do karmam. Otherwise they won't, right? And similarly, if Vedam tells them to give it up, they'll give it up. Vedam is authority in everything, right? And that is Vaidya Parambara. Vaidya Parambara is like that. What Vedam says you follow, not what you think, what the society tells you. Even if society forces them, they won't go after that. So, Vedektam eva kurvanam, that is what he is saying. Vedai sarvani karmani. So, in Melpathur's time, you are talking about 500 years ago, in his time, what he is saying is, he is saying to Krishna this, when he is summarizing this Ayurhotra Maharshi's talk in the Bhagavatam, he put that to Krishna in front of him like this, in his language. He says, Vedai sarvani karmani, abhala paradaya varnidani. Without, you should not create this desire for results in me while I am engaging even in the karma prescribed in the Vedam. He is saying to Krishna. Krishna is listening to all these things. And later on Krishna is saying to him about it. It comes in the Narayaniya. So he is saying there, Tanitvai arpidani samanucharan yani naishkarma meshe. He says, if I have to do some karma, if it is forced upon me by some reason, then tanitvai arpidani, I will offer it to you, that karma. I don't want to take the ownership of that. It will be you who will be doing the karma. Krishna is doing the karma. Tanitvai arpidani samanucharan yani naishkarma meshe. What I want, he is saying to Krishna, this naishkarma siddhi, naishkarma bhava, I need that, he said. And ma bhudher dvir nishidher, when we are living in this world, sometimes some karma will happen through us without our control. We may have no control over that, right? And sometimes it could be a karma which is forbidden by the Veda, nishidha karma it's called. Even if that happens, right, let it not bind me with karma. He is praying this. Ma bhudvir dvir nishiddir kuhachit abhimanam karma vacham pravurtir turvarje chedavaptam arpaye chil pragashe. He says, I will give up that karma on the understanding, I'll do that karma on the understanding, everything you are doing it and the results must go to you. In that way, I will become free from that karma. That is how he summarized that verse, right? Because the reason for that is, this material nature won't always help you in life, even if you want to follow Vedam. Sometimes, because that's the nature of the Prakriti. Prakriti is changing constantly. So sometimes Prakriti also won't be favorable to you to follow the rules of the Vedam. Even if you want to follow Vedam, Prakriti, like many people's life, it is like that now. Prakriti is not very helpful. The society, the changes, Prakriti is continuously changing, isn't it? It's continuously changing. So sometimes things may happen in life which is beyond your control. And Prakriti will never allow you to stay within a particular discipline, to live in this world. Prakriti won't allow you. It will come and create havoc in your life. Say war happens, all your plans changes in life. Everything gets upset. You become an immigrant somewhere. Again you pack up and leave with all your stuff somewhere else. This is constantly happening in world, is not. So that's what he's saying here. Then if anything happens like that, and I'm forced to do certain things which is not authorized by the Vedam, even in that situation, that karma what I do, which is unauthorized by the Vedam, that will I will offer to you, as though you are doing it, and I will stay away from that, the results of that karma. Such is their understanding of karma, I am saying, that they understood karma in that level. Vedai sarvani karmani apala paradaya varnidani idi buddhva tani toy arpidani eva hi samanucharan yani naishkarmyam eshe. This naishkarmyam is their goal. They want to get there, right? Ma buddhver dver nishidher kuhachid abhimana karma vacham pravrti. Karma, words and activities. Karma vacham pravrti durvarjam chedavaptam. If I am forced to do something like that, chedavaptam tadabhi khalubhavatyarpaye chilprakashe, I will offer that to you. Chilprakasha means brahmam. I will offer that to you and I will become free from that results of that karma. So you can see how their mind is. They work on a different angle, from an angle, right? So, that knowledge of the brahmam, chitprakasham, or the knowledge of the brahmam, I will become free from that. In other words, I will remove this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that thought should not get inside me. I am karta bhokta. That should not wake up inside me. It's a very subtle thing. We find that difficult, isn't it? Because we are, whole life, we are karta bhokta, doer, enjoyer. That's how we lived in this world. So, that is a way to come to this naishkarmya siddhi. Karta bhokta goes away completely from inside. I am the doer and the enjoyer, right? So, that is what he is saying also. Ajahn Swami says there, sarva karma sanyasena adigachadi prapnodi tatha uttam sarva karmani manasa. Krishna has mentioned that in the 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, in the 13th verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya naiva kurvan na karayan. You will see this verse here. Naiva kurvan na karayan. He is not doing anything. Naiva kurvan na karayan. And he is not responsible for that. So, so samyak darshanam means, the knowledge of the Vedam is very clear in his head. It is, you know, he has got that clarity inside of the Vedic knowledge through good understanding, deeper level understanding, right? And with that, karmam has gone away from him. And that sannyasam, sarva karma sannyasam, is what Krishna is talking about. Naishkarmya siddhim paramam. It is a very subtle thing. I mean, you need to know the history of these, the society, on basis of which this verse has to be understood, right? How, when karmam leaves us totally, then this verse becomes very, very important. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspriha naishkarma siddhim paramam sanye sanadi gachadi. Krishna is saying that is sannyasam. If you come in that, if your karmam has left you, not you are giving it up, that vasanas have gone from inside, and you, this feeling that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer has gone from you, you are a sannyasi then. That's what Krishna calls a sannyasam. Naishkarma siddhim paramam sanye sanadi gachadi, right? So, sarva karma sannyasam. And without this realization, just changing clothes and carrying danda and changing the name and all, is not given much of a value to it. Because the change is inside, has to happen, right? If this happens, that is sannyasam, is samadhi state. It is saying there that. And so, it is like this, that if this sannyasa anubhavam or samadhi anubhavam, those who are not in that state, when you see sannyasis without this thing, right, we will think that what is happening to them, right? What's up? Historically, people, others will observe you, your sannyasam, what kind of sannyasam have you got, right? So, and sometimes, if you are in that state, you are supposed to be in a happy state because karmam has left you for that, right? That means you have become practically free from the bodily fear of bodily existence, in other words.
Right.
And sometimes people say, oh, I see this sannyasi is not at all happy. He looks so miserable. People will say like that. You know, they are sannyasi. People generally look at others, isn't it? Particularly sannyasis. They look at the sannyasis and they make this statement. Why does he look so miserable? That he should be happy, is it not? But he's not. Why? Because of this problem. That Naishkarma Siddhi hasn't happened to them. Again, the same anxiety and fear inside. How will I manage my life? Where will I get my food? This kind of things comes to him. That shouldn't happen. That's what he's saying here. So, it is the same thing. Sridharana Maharshi told Vedavyas also. Naishkarma Mabhi. You remember two times that verse is repeated in the Bhagavadam. Naishkarmam avi achyuda bhava varjitam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapuna shashud abhadram ishvare yadarpidam karma yadatvanyuttamam. You can see that in the first canto. It's there in the 12th canto as well. So when Narada Maharshi spoke to Vedavyas about this Naishkarma Siddhi, Naishkarmam, he mentions there that even if you are in that samadhi state, in Naishkarma Siddhi, if you have got, but if you are not careful, bhakti is not there, then what will happen? If achyuda bhava, achyuda bhava means bhakti. Naishkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam. If you do not have that achyuda bhavam, na shobhade, he is saying, you know, so many things that's happening today is against the Vedic injunctions. That perfect state is not followed anymore. You have put them in such a difficulty that after becoming a sannyasi, they have to go for fundraising. There is nothing worse than that. If a sannyasi to give, and a lot of sannyasis now in all kinds of institutions are busy with fundraising. So where is a sannyasi then? So that is how the situation has gone bad, right? So, and then, like karmis and householders, if they have to work hard, fundraising, and then people will think, why do you need sannyasam for this? If sannyasi also has to go fundraising, and also for work hard to earn money, then what is sannyasam then? Right? So, there is a discussion between Chinmayananda Swamiji's guru, Tapavana Swami, with another sannyasi, Vidyananda Tirthapada, another famous sannyasi. They were in that time, all in the early 1900s. This discussion happened, right? So, Tapavana Swami is saying to him that this sannyasa ashram is not for service. If you want to do service in the world, social service or whatever service, right? And you are, because you have to go and contact people, different types of people, right? And you have to make connection with them. Actually, it is not sannyasi's business, he says. Sannyasi should not get involved in all these things. And for doing that, the best is householder life. Grihasthashramam is okay. Because in grihasthashramam, you are not upholding naishkarmam. You are in the karma field still. But sannyasa means you have come out of karma. And if in that state, if you are again doing the grihastha's job, then what is the difference? What was the point in changing the clothes and changing the name and carrying danda and all that? Right? So, sannyasa ashram is only for keeping this spiritual knowledge in the world, in practical life. How the spiritual knowledge should be in a person who has come out of karma, fully established in the Naishkarmyam stage with bhakti. Bhagavadam is saying that. Naishkarmyam achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhade jnanam. Na shobhade jnanam. You may have reached the Naishkarmyam. That means the knowledge is there. But with that, alam niranjanam, that bhakti should be there. That is the Bhagavadam, sir. Opinion about that. How important bhakti is for a sannyasi. Not that you stay in that state, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has talked about this knowledge side of it. Naishkarma siddhim paramam sannyasanadikachari. Bhagavatam took one step further and told us that even in that state, Achyuta Bhavam is necessary, bhakti is necessary. So this ashramam, sannyasa ashramam, is for people with spiritual knowledge, adhyatma vidya. And you stay like a sannyasi. And but if you want to go back into this world of karma, the world of karma, fundraising, construction, temple construction, and all other kind of activities like that, yeah. Or you want to engage in social service, building hospitals, schools, all these kind of things. He is saying that grihasthashramam is better for that. Don't be take to sannyasam. Because sannyasa ashram is meant for in this to stay in this state, and those who want to, because if they are not there, gradually people will think sannyasa means doing all these things. And that's what it is happening now, isn't it? So if you want to do all this kind of work, social service, building hospital schools, and fundraising, and all these kind of things, become a house, stay as a householder. Don't get take to sannyas ashram, right? Because people used to observe all these things, and this is how that change has happened. The shift of a sannyasi's mood of this state coming down into householder's activities, right? So this discussion between Tapovanam and Vidyananda Tirthapad, it is there in the books, right? So if you are doing this social service and helping the world and all that, if you are in that state, best thing is not to take sannyasam. Carry on doing what you are doing, right? So in sannyasa ashramam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, cultivation of knowledge and perfecting that knowledge, then upasana, bhakti, yogam, such things, which are nothing to do with the world outside. It is individual, personal thing, spiritual, elevating yourself in different ways, right? That can be done, right? If you don't have any of these things, shravanamanana nididhyasanam, or upasana, bhakti, yogam, if you don't have all these things, at least you should have the good knowledge of the Shastram. Shastra Jnanam should be there, right? So that is why they say, Uttama Sahajavastha, Madhyama Dhyana Dharana, Adhamam Shastra Charchaja, Tirtha Yatha Adhamam Adhamam. They have classified all these things, right? What they are saying is that, at least this Adhamam Adhamam, you should stay there, which is Tirtha Yatra. They have said that, in four levels you can stay. The first one is Uttama Sahajavastha. If you stay in the Naishkarma Siddhi with bhakti, then that Uttamam, the best, Sahajavastha. Right? Madhyama Dhyana Dharana. If you can't do that, engage in Dharana, Dhyanam, Uvasana, whatever you are doing, do that. Right? Then Adhamam Shastra Charchaja. If you can't do that either, then at least keep studying Shastram and discuss Shastram. If you can't do that even, then go into Tirthayatra. Tirthayatra. Athama Athama. Lower of all the four is Tirthayatra. Higher than Tirthayatra is Shastra Charcha. Higher than Shastra Charcha is this Dhyanam Dharana. Even higher than that is Sahajavastha. Sahajavastha means you have reached the state of Naishkarma Siddhi and Bhakti. That you are fully relaxed from everything and you are always in the state of realized state. No karma, no vasana inside, and then Brahman realization is inside. Antaryami is inside and always established in that state. Not influenced by the world, not influenced by desires, not influenced by karma, nothing. Able to remain in that state. That's the very higher state. Yeah. So that's the famous words. Uttama Sahajavastha, Madhyama Dhyana Dharana, Athama Shastra Charchaja, Tirtha Yatra, Athama Athamam. Right? Athama Athamam means, it's not that it's totally bad. It is not in that sense. Compared to others, it is the lowest one. But that doesn't mean it is the worst of all. But at least your spiritual a spiritual aspirant should remain in that state. At least in that state. Tirthyatra. So, that is why you go traveling, bathe in different holy rivers, holy tanks and places like that, go into the temples regularly, and doing something like that, and not getting involved with the world too much, right? So, even that is considered to be a qualification for that sannyasi, right? That means you should not come further down than that. Further down than that. If you can't do this, if you are able to do Shastra Charcha, studying Shastra and discussing it, that's better. Or you do Dhyanam Dharana, able to do perform meditations. Dhyanam or Japam or Dharana process. In a higher level, that means you are able to engage your subtle body in a proper spiritual activity. But still no karma, right? In this way you can go up to Sahajavastha. Sahaja means that you are established in that state and able to remain like that. Yeah. So that is this Naishkarma Siddhi. So you are trying to become free from this problem called karma. You are trying to become free from this problem called karma, which has bound us very strongly, right? And that freedom, what you got like that, is Naishkarma Siddhi. Is Naishkarma Siddhi. And this Naishkarma Siddhi, how you get that gradually, over a long period of time, how you get that, is what is spoken in the next verse. 50, verse 50. Siddhim prapto yatha brahmam tadapnodi nibodhami samaseneva kaundaya nishta jnanasya para. He says here, Siddhi prapta, so karmana ishwaram samabhyarcha, tal prasad jam, kaya indriyanam, jnana nishta yogyada lakshanam, siddhi prapta, iti tadanu vadam uttarataha. Otherwise, he says that this siddhi, or perfection, what you got, is not a magic. It's not a magic, right? Prapti, that becomes qualified for that. And your perfection of your knowledge of the self, in other words. Inside you are well established in the knowledge of the self, right? That means Brahmajnanam, knowledge of the Brahman is good. And he knows very well that he is the soul. He is Brahman and is established in that. Tattva Nishaya, Tattva Jnanam is very well established in that, right? And Krishna is saying, try to understand how that happens, right? And that is what he said in that second line. He's saying, Tadapinodi Nibodhame, understand how that happens, he says. he says here, Yatha yena prakarena jnana nishta rubena brahma paramatmanam apnodi tatha tam prakaram jnana nishta praptikramam me mama vachana nibodhatvam nishchayena avadhareya idi etat. Krishna says, through jnana nishta, that means your steadiness in the jnanam, in the knowledge, how you realize Paramatma and the process by which to get that jnana nishtha. Krishna is going to talk about that in a detailed way. Right? He says, yatha, we'll understand this first. senses and the mind. He's saying here, senses and the mind has become purified. Means that you have good control of the senses. You are not disturbed by the sense gratification. You reach that state, right? Mind is also under control. Means mind is not going to the world outside too far and looking for enjoyment. So mind and senses have come very much under control. Right. Then, yena pragayana jnana nishtha. That means nishtha has happened to him. Jnana nishtha prapti kramam. What he is going to talk about, right? Krishna says that how is that jnana nishtha? How does that come? How his anubhuti? What is his state of consciousness? Krishna wants to talk about that, right? He says, so, first thing he says, that when that happens, the avidya leaves him, and when avidya leaves him, there is a lot in that, the way it has been spoken, right? If you look there in the commentary, you will find that in avidya kalpita nama rupa vishesha agara apakrita buddhitval atyanda prasiddham, he says. Su vijnayam asannataram altmabhudam abhi aprasiddham dur vijnayam adiduram anyat iva pradibhadi aviveginam. This is Ajahn Swami's bhashyam on that. What he is saying is that you see, this is where the difficulty. For knowledge of the self, to realize the self, right? We talk about effort, you have to work for that. Upasana, sadhana, all that is required, right? Ajahn Swami says, there is no effort is required. he says, atyanda prasiddham. If avidya goes away, you are realized. All that is required is avidya has to go. Antaryami is inside, Krishna is inside, right? So he doesn't have to come from outside anywhere. He is already inside. The problem what we have now is, we are not conscious of him. We don't know him now. That's the only problem. He is inside us, right? He doesn't have to come from the temple or from Vrindavanam or anywhere. He's already there inside everybody. But the problem is that we are not aware of that. We don't know him and we have no connection with him at the moment. So what he's saying here is, avidya kalpidam nama rupa vishesha agaram apakrita buddhitval. Because of avidya and this nama rupam, all this, atyanda prasiddham suvijnayam asannadaram atmabhudam abhi aprasiddham durvijnayam adiduram anyat. Because of the avidya inside, you are thinking that he is very far away somewhere. He has to come from somewhere else. He lives in Golokam, he lives in Vaikuntham, he lives in Kailasam and all that. We think like that. And we are thinking in spiritual life, I have to work very hard here so that one day I will get there. That is our avidya inside. Whereas, he is the closest to us than anybody else. Right inside, as Antaryami present in everybody. And then we are thinking that he is very far away in Golokam or in Kailasam or Vaikuntham, and I have to do a lot of sadhana here and finally I will get there. This is the belief system, isn't it? That is what is being spoken about. അവിദ്യാകൽപ്പിത നാമരൂപ വിശേഷാകാരാൽ അപകൃത ബുദ്ധിത്വാൽ അത്യന്ത പ്രസിദ്ധം. സുവിജ്ഞേയം ആസന്നതരം ആത്മഭൂതം അവി അപ്രസിദ്ധം. ദുർവിജ്ഞേയം അതിദൂരം അന്യത് ഇവ പ്രതിപാദി അവിവേകിനാം. അവിവേകീസ് മീൻസ് പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് എനി പ്രോപ്പർ ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, ദേ വിൽ തിങ്ക് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഈസ് ഫാർ അവേ ഫ്രം ഹിയർ. സംസ് യു തിങ്ക് ഹൗ ഫാർ ഈസ് ഗോലോകം, വി തിങ്ക് ഇസ് നോട്ട് ഗോലോകം ഈസ് സോ ഫാർ, ആൻഡ് വൈകുണ്ഠം ഈസ് ഓൾസോ ഫോർ ഫാർ. വി കാൻഡ് ഇവൻ ഗെറ്റ് ദെയർ ഫ്രം ഹിയർ, യു കാൻഡ് ഇവൻ ട്രാവൽ ദെയർ. Kailasam also, the Kailasam what we are going now, making visits and all that. You don't go there, still, you don't see Lord Shiva there when you go. With all your Chinese visa and all that you got there. But you don't see Shiva there, you don't see Nandikeshara there, you don't see Virabhadra there, or any of those people. Where are they? So this understanding that all these different places, what we talk about in realization, Kailasam, Vaikuntham, Golokam and all that, it is in your Bhavana Mandalam it is. Otherwise, often this was a question, if Kailasam you could get there, then you should see Lord Shiva, is not. Lord Shiva is not there. So what do you do then? After taking all this effort to go there. Not that you are ridiculing Kailasam, Kailasam has its own position, but you won't get to see Shiva like that. You need to have that spiritual advancement as well, right? So, what is he saying here? Atyanda prasiddhatva. You are saying there is a lot of effort required to get there, but you are talking about something what you have already got. That is Antaryami inside. Krishna is Antaryami inside, right? So, Alma is a siddha vastu. You have already got it. Prahlad also said, siddhatvad, he says. You have already got it. Nothing has to come from outside. Yeah. So when something you have got, and then what is the effort required? It's only the question of realizing that inside. But you have now developed in this nature. Everybody thinks like this, that I will do a lot of sadhana in this life, and I would live, I will follow all the instructions, and when I die, I will get there to Golokam or Vaikuntham or something like that. Yeah. But right now, one who is present inside us and making us realize this awareness, bodham inside, that's him. That's him, right? So, and he is the only truth in this package. The only truth is Krishna inside. Everything else is from Maya. So, atyanda prasiddham, right? It's not something you have to acquire that by effort, right? Avidya is called adhyaropam, what we talked about before. Adhyaropam, niragaranam. Yeah? Adhyaropam, avidya. So, this adhyaropam, niragaranam, that is what we were talking about here. That removing that adhyaropam, that's what is required, right? And in other words, because I have no knowledge, because of my avidya, I have imposed so many things on me, and I'm identifying falsely with that, right? And all I have to do is to download all that, what I have loaded on me, the false identities, different things, what I have loaded on me, right? And Brahma-jnanena, you don't have to know Brahmam, study and learn Brahmam, right? And it will naturally, when that happens, adhyaropam happens, all adhyaropam goes away, means abhavadam goes away, right? Once that is, there is nothing else to know after that, then you realize that you get your spiritual identity back. In the bhakti language, when you say Krishna gives himself to you, means that. In the jnana margam, you will say you remove all the avidya. So two different ways of saying the same thing. In jnana margam, you say you become free from avidya. In bhakti margam, you will say Krishna gives himself to you. That's what that means. When Krishna says he gives himself to a devotee, means that he gives him his spiritual identity back. That's what that means, you see. But the In Shastram, the way of saying is like this. Krishna gives himself to a surrendered devotee. Not that Krishna becomes his servant. Not that what that means. It means that Krishna gives him his spiritual identity back. Same thing spoken in two different ways. In Jnana Margam, spoken in one way. In Bhakti Margam, spoken in a different way. Jnana Margam, it is becoming free from ignorance. Avidya goes away. All the things what you have superimposed on you, all the false identities, you have become free from that. That means you'll get your spiritual identity back. Bhakti Margam means Krishna gives you the realization that you are not the body. You are actually same as me, not different from me. That Brahman realization, that is Bhakti. That's the process, right? So, knowledge is the surubam of Atma. Surubam of Atma, right? And it's avidya kalpita namarupa visheshagaral prakrita buddhitval, it says, isn't it? So, namarupam is present in the world, full of namarupam, right? And, for example, you can see this is very deep in everybody. You'll say, where you come from? I'll say, I come from Stanmore, I'll come from Ilford, or I'll come from wherever it is, right? And then you will say, where in Ilford or where in Stanmore? You will ask if you are familiar with the place, right? Just that's how the conversation is. So, so when the mind goes after Namarupam, when the mind goes after Namarupam, right? The mind will get involved in different topics and it will create different ideas inside us. Different ideas inside us. And mind is, the nature of the mind is like that. It will probe into so many things and will bring all that inside, right? And buddhi will get involved in that then, right? So, useless things, topics, right? Knowing that, thinking about that, that becomes our daily life. So, because of all that, because of all these things, these two things, mind and intelligence, continuously in working like this, what we have got within us, Antaryami, Krishna, inside us, right? And what is available to us all the time, Antaryami, right? And he is closer to us more than anybody else. And it's very simple to know him. But we are not having that. And that is called avidya. So this avidya is centered around the subtle body. Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. These four things, subtle body does this. Subtle body is avidya altogether. When avidya goes away, subtle body goes away once for all. None of them will exist there. If totally, if you have become free from avidya, the whole subtle body has gone there. Yeah. Whereas, but that doesn't happen overnight. You see, subtle body has a longer lifespan compared to the gross body. Gross body is 60, 70, 80 years, it's gone. Subtle body doesn't leave you with this life. It goes with you to the next body. So that means subtle body has a longer lifespan compared to the gross body. Isn't it? How many, the subtle body never gets destroyed. So that means it has been with us several lifetimes before. It's with us now. And it will go with us for the next many, many lifetimes. So who has got more longer life? It's a subtle body. Gross body doesn't have. Gross body comes and goes all the time. So that's what he is saying here, that the this subtle body will not allow you, because subtle body goes into different things, bring all the useless information. And between them there is interaction, mind and intelligence together. And then ahangaram gets involved in that. And then is influenced by the vasana. So this is what the subtle body is doing all the time, right? So because this subtle body is very active, this simple knowledge of the Antaryami inside is not happening to us. We are finding it difficult to develop any connection with the Antaryami because of this. Of this, in what is going on inside the subtle body, right? So, like you can see that, we have got, because of this subtle body only, very complex things we have knowledge. Very, very complex things, right? Like, sometimes what subtle damage a subtle body has done to us. You see this Big Bang theory. We have got knowledge of that. And we don't have the Antaryami's knowledge. Big Bang theory, they are saying it happened 13.5 billion years ago. It happened. And we are studying that very seriously. And analyzing that, scrutinizing everything that. Our mind and this subtle body is doing all these things, right? Big Bang theory. And then how to go to the moon, how to go to Mars, this kind of things. All useless things, right? Subtle body is keeping us busy with all these kind of things. These are all very complicated things in this world. NASA is doing that, ISRO is doing this, and all kinds of organizations all over the world. British Aerospace is doing this, and the European Space Agencies, they are also doing this. Busy with the moon, busy with the Mars, busy with so many nonsense. All useless at the end, right? Nothing has come out of it. Keeps a lot of people on job and a lot of money people taking from the people for tax money, taxpayers to pay for all their excursions and their toys. These are toys for them, isn't it? So billions and billions of dollars and pounds spent on all these things, going to moon, going to Mars, and all this, Big Bang theory and all kinds of things they come up with, right? So, they are all very complicated things. When you use a subtle body for that, they are very, very complicated things, right? And apart from that, all that is broadcast through media, through the newspapers, televisions and everything. And we get completely, completely absorbed in that, right? And because of that, what happened? This Antaryami inside us, who is so close to us, by whose presence all this is happening, we have forgotten him. We have become totally disconnected from him. And now we are finding it difficult to make any contact with him because in this subtle body we are filled with all this garbage of the world from outside, right? And that you will see that Krishna saying that in this chapter, the 13th chapter, he says, he is the closest to you and he is the distant, most distant from you. In the 13th chapter, he will say that. When we discuss that, you will see why Krishna says that, right? Because of our subtle body made it so difficult that we have become so far away from him, even though he is the closest to you. So, we think that Vedantam is a very difficult thing. Vedantam is not a difficult one. But, because of this in education, modern education, and also because of our subtle body, and the way society has groomed everybody, we've all become like this. And now we are thinking Vedantam is a very difficult topic. It requires so much effort to realize the truth. Krishna is saying here, I'm not that far, I'm right inside you, sitting there. Only thing is, you have made your life complicated with your plans, right? So, but some people who are fortunate, right, that who had come through previous lives, through spiritually knowledgeable, and who had studied Shastram, did good sadhana in previous life, when they come to this straight away, they are not affected by all these things. They are able to take to the process straight away and make that progress, right? They are not finding it difficult, even though there are very few only. They don't find it difficult. They think it is not that difficult. And examples are there for that, right? They are saying that all this world outside, it has nothing to do with me. They have that understanding from the early days itself in life. Very early days itself. They feel that this world has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be here. That's all. But I have my connection is inside with the Antaryami. For example, you know the children who goes to this Veda Pathashala. Those who study in Veda Pathashala, who study Vedam there. Very small children, right? When they finish their study of Vedam, Sometimes they have to go out and work also later on. They come after that, right? Generally they don't want to. They will avoid as soon as possible. But nowadays what they have done, because their existence is in very great difficulty, they give them this education also, our education, to them. They study Vedam is main studies. For example, in Brahma Sumandam, what I saw there was, the morning hours, they study Vedam. In the afternoon hours, they prepare them for our schools and our certificates and all that, what we have got. Right? Because they think that once they finish the Vedic training there, 8 or 10 years, when they come out, and if they have to find an employment, they have to have some knowledge, is it not? But because they have studied Vedam, they are very sharp because of that. And this knowledge, what we are going through 10 years' time, they will finish in 1 or 2 years. They will pick up the whole thing. This is known thing. Everybody knows this. Because of their disciplined life and that chanting Gayatri and that purity, they were not subjected to any of these modern comforts and media and all that. Mind is not destroyed, spoiled so much. Mind and intelligence. So therefore, this knowledge, what we are going for 10 years, you are hammering and hammering to get to GCSE, to all this knowledge, 10 years, when they come out from the Vedabhata Shala, they have only studied a little bit now. In the afternoon they teach them to prepare for the GCSE. Equivalent in India, what is SSLC, right? So they can go straight into SSLC and write the exam in that way. So, when you see them children, right, when they come out, they are so sharp in their power of learning, you know, that Shraddha and the Buddhi is developed so well, that even mobile phones, when they get defective problems, they can fix it. They are able to do that without much effort, right? Because of the way they have trained themselves, right? And they are able to learn that very quickly. If you give them a mobile phone, how to use it, how to fix it, and all these things, right? And we find that difficult, especially when you are retired and you have to deal with the whole thing. It becomes the big, complex subject and very complicated, right? Mainly because old age you become least interested also in these things, right? So they are able to use their mind, intelligence, easily for knowing other things without much of an effort. That's what he's saying here. Buddhitvat atyanta prasiddham, he's saying. You see that? Avidya kalpita namarupa visheshagaral apahrata buddhitvat atyanta prasiddham. These are all known things. These are all known things, right? Atyanta prasiddham. So, because Antaryami inside is present, only that awareness is missing. Awareness, right? And Suvijnayam, he says, that it is easy to know the presence of Antaryami inside, and he is so close to you. And Atma Bhudam, and he is available to you, Atma Bhudam. He is you, actually, inside. That's what we are actually, right? And that is our wealth, not Vaikuntham, Kailasam and all that, right? Then he said, Avi Aprasiddham, means it appears as though it's not available to you. Durvijnayam, and you have to work very hard to get to know him. And it gives the impression that only if you have very high intelligence, you will get to know him. That kind of false impression we have in us, right? Adiduram, right? Durvijnayam, adiduram. As though you have to get him after traveling a long distance. Adiduram. You have to go to get him, right? And you have to do a lot before you go there to get there, right? Anyatra, as though he is separated from you in another place, existing, right? Vibhadi, pradibhadi, avivegi nam. So for whom avivegi, one who has no vivegam. That's how he is saying here, right? That's why that bhashyam, you can see that. Avidyakalpita namarupa visheshakaral avakrata buddhitval atyanta prasiddham suvijnayam asannadaram almabhudam abhi aprasiddham durvijnayam adiduramanyat iva pratipadi aviveginam. He said that. Yeah. Then, so, Ramana Maharshi says, this is called Maya. This is called Maya. What he means by that is, Maharshi also approach, if you look, you will see, everything is simple for him. He says, there is nothing much to know. Antaryami is inside. But you are not able to accept it, that Krishna is inside. Right? So, in order to discuss this topic, Maharshi says, how many religions in this world, right? How many sampradayams in this world, and how many different types of procedures, ajaram, in this world, and in the name of these religions and different sampradayams, people are fighting each other, killing each other, and he says, this is called Maya. This is Maya, making people to do all these things. All these discussions going on. It is such a simple thing. Ajari Swami is saying, he is right there inside you. All that is required. He said, avidya, if you leave, goes away from you, you realize his presence inside, end of the business. It's finished. That's all you have to know. But such a simple thing has become so complicated in this world, due to all these different types of religions, different kinds of philosophies, different sampradayams, all fighting and beating up each other in the name of this one vastu who is inside. And everybody has their own propaganda. You have to go here, somebody says you have to go to heaven, somebody says you have to go to Vaikuntham, Kailasam, and this, that and the other. So you can see that that calls it as Maya. That is called Maya. So, Kathopanishad also says the same thing, right? Yeah. So, but it is possible to get this knowledge of the self, right? You don't have to do anything, right? Only thing is this avidya inside has to leave you. That's all what is required. That's what he says here. Tasmad avidya adhyaropana niragarana matram brahmani kartavyam nadu brahmajnane yatnam atyanta prasiddhatvad. He says that in order to get brahmajnanam, you don't have to do anything. Only one thing. Due to avidya, what you have imposed on yourself, you have to destroy them. That avidya inside. And then you realize that, right? So, so he is saying here that bahyagara nivrta buddhinam to labdha guru alma prasadanam na ada param sukham suprasiddham buddhi yayam swasanadaram asti tathaja uktam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. Ityadi is saying here that one who has succeeded, able to come out of this influence of the world in a person, right? One who has got that kind of intelligence, and one who has the blessing of the guru, then there is nothing more easy than this self-realization. That is the reason why Krishna said in that 9th chapter, in the 2nd verse, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. Krishna is saying that rajavidya rajaguhyam pavitram idamuttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. Krishna is saying there, it is pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. You can experience directly pratyaksham, susukham, very easily. Susukham kartum avyayam, this rajavidya. the knowledge of the self. Rajaguhyam, most confidential, but it can be directly experienced and it is available very easily. Krishna puts it like that in the 9th chapter. For this reason only. Ajaya Swamiji quotes that. He says Krishna said that because of the nature is like that of the Atma. It is easy to realize him, easy to know him and experience him. Pratyakshavaham dharmam susuham kartum avyayam. He said that. Yeah. So, then he said that these things, what he mentioned before, there's a lot about that before coming to that. Atyanda nirmalatval, swachatval, adi sushmatval, upavattehe, almano buddhe, cha, buddhehe, cha, alma samane, arabhya, upavattehe, almane chaidanyagara bhasatval, upavatti. Alma is very pure. That means avidya cannot stay with Atma. If there is avidya, you won't know him. Avidya has to go completely, right? And Alma is very subtle, and extremely pure. Extremely subtle, extremely pure, right? Knowledge of the self and Atma has a lot of things in common. Knowledge of the self and Atma has a lot of things in common. Therefore, you can practically say knowledge of the self and Atma is not different. This is why in the Bhagavatam it said, Vadandida Tattvavidam, Tattvamyajnanam Advayam, and which is called as Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. That is the reason for that. That's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Vadandida Tattvavidam, Tattvamyajnanam Advayam, Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabjade. It's a very important verse. They say it's a Mahavakyam in the Bhagavatam. What is it saying? What it's saying is that knowledge of the self, vadandi, tattvajnanam, vatandida tattvavidam, tattvam yajnanam, means tattvajnanam, is not different from Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. It is the same thing. So, there is a lot of things in common. Tattvajnanam and Atma, they are one and the same thing. It is spoken in two different ways. That's all. So, because jnanam becomes jnanam. Jnanam means enlightenment, isn't it? Prakasham. It is always, knowledge brings illumination. Knowledge brings illumination. That illumination is coming from Atma. Atma's illumination is what is coming through knowledge in a person. The illumination of the soul is what is coming as jnana prakasham. As illumination of the knowledge. Knowledge means illumination and enlightenment, they call it. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, when Satugunam comes in a person, knowledge and enlightenment, he says. Does he not? So they're all connected to each other. You're expressing the same thing because Atma is so subtle, it is very difficult to explain Atma to anybody, what Atma is. So you can only explain it through in this way, through knowledge, through enlightenment, jnanam. In this way, you are trying to give an understanding of Atma. That's what it is, right? So, so that is that Chaitanyam present in that, right? So, so as I said before, that this Antaryami, Krishna, who is inside us, everybody, so close to us, right? We have made it very complex now. That is so far away. And it frightens people sometimes that Krishna is living so far away in Golokam. And you have to travel such a long distance after leaving this world. All this understanding how it develops over a period of time in people's mind, right? Even though he is closest to us, and he is our very identity, our Swarupam itself is. It's him. He is our Swarupam, isn't it? But now we say he is in Kailasam. Then you have to go to Chinese embassy, get the visa from them. With your passport you go there, right? And then you go there and you are not able to go into the Kailasam, right? You can say, I have seen the Himalayas and I have seen the Kailasam also, I have seen from a distance. But I didn't meet Nandikeshwara or Lord Shiva's Budhaganam. I didn't meet anybody there. I came back, right? That is the Lord Shiva's devotees, right? Vaishnavas, their perception is different. They say, Vaikuntham is the last temple, Kshetram, Vaikuntham, right? And you cannot go and visit and come back. Like Kailasam, you can go and come back. Vaikuntham, you can't go and come back. They are saying like that. Vaishnavas are saying this. Shaivas are saying you can go to Kailasam, but you won't meet Lord Shiva, you come back. But Vaikuntham, even that is not accessible. It's so far, you can't go there, right? So, but people are interested in this more, rather than when you tell them he is inside a Santaryami. This is the way Maya works. He is inside everybody. Antaryami Upasana is in the Upanishads. Vrithadaranyam Upanishads. Chapter after chapter is about Antaryami Upasana. But we get easily attracted for some reason that you like to travel and get there and get to that place. And you want to meet him there at that spot, right? So therefore all these Puranic concepts have come. Vaikuntham, Kailasam. All this is not in the Upanishads. It's all in the Puranam. It is meant for people who are like that, who likes to understand that in this life they will live their life here comfortably and they want Krishna's help to support their life here. And after death they want to be happy there also. So they like to be that place away from here. After they leave and they go to that place, they will be happy there as well. So this arrangement suits them, who likes this mindset, right? Who have this mindset. You can even go up to Muktinath to meet Lord Shiva, but you won't find him. You can go to Amarnath, you won't meet him. You will see so many things there, like the there is in Amarnath, they have that big Shivalingam which comes every year. But Lord Shiva, you won't meet him. You will see everything else, right? And there are all, if this is not there, what will all these travel agencies do? What will all these sannyasis do? They also need some work to do. They keep them going, isn't it? And there's so many people in India wants to go to all these places now. And even from outside, Indians who are living outside also wants to go to all these places. And they're constantly inquiring. And there are travel agents now here in London and in Leicester and all that who have made this as a yearly business now. You can go to all these places, pay them, and they'll arrange everything for you. And then you feel you've gone and seen Himalayas there and came back. You didn't see Lord Shiva, you didn't see Nandikeshwar or anybody, but you say, I've seen Kailasam, but you didn't meet Lord Shiva. Then what's the point in going to Kailasam? Another one of the mountains in the Himalayan glaciers. So in this, but Vaishnavas are a little bit more difficult. They are saying you have to go much further than that to Vaikuntham. But they like this arrangement that in this life they will work hard, they will live a good life, and after death also they want to make sure that they'll go to a good place. For them, this arrangement is better. Then they have another place when they're going. They're safe there also when they get there. You get that feeling, right? So, our Akhandananda Swamiji talks about that. He says, what is this Vaikuntham? What is this Kailasam you're talking about? Right? And he has written a famous verse on that. He says, who has seen this Vaikuntham? Who has seen that? Right? And if you describe Vaikuntham to others, then you will start meditating on that, thinking about it, what it will be like. Like all these things, Salokyam, Samipyam, Sarsti, Sarupyam, Sayujyam and all these things, right? It's like that. You are given some understanding of Vaikuntham. Similarly, Golokam also. Devotees are still discussing, what happens if I get there in Golokam? Suppose when we go back home, back to Godhead, what will Krishna ask me to do when I get there? What will be my service there? Some people say, I'll be a flower. Somebody says, I'll be a leaf. Somebody says, a cow or a calf. And all that. So they are thinking that if I'm a cow or a calf, how will I see Radharani and Krishna? How will I be able to see them? Then they say all senses are spiritual there. So when people ask such questions, you will see they will avoid not to discuss much about it because there is no answer to that question. So this is a concept in our mind that you go there and then everything is set up like that for you. But that's not the way it is, right? So, but Vedantam says, rather than going through all these difficult concepts, accept this, that presence of Krishna inside us, Antaryami, and unaffected by time or space, He is present, which is our bodham, awareness inside, that bodham inside. And Brahman is present inside us like that. And Guru has given that instruction, that realization, like our Shukha Brahmarshi gave it to Parikshit. You don't see there Parikshit went to Vaikuntham or Golokam or Kailasam. He mentioned that, he says, what did he say at the end? Aham Brahma Param Dhamam Brahmaham Paramam Padam. I have reached that state of awareness, consciousness, right? So that is what Bhagavatam has talked about. Mukti Sanyarayubam Surubena Vivasri, coming back to that, right? So so this knowledge of the self, Parikshit made it in 7 days' time. He made, of course, Krishna's mercy was behind it. And everyone has got it. Parikshit also had it. All Shukha Brahmarshi has done that, he removed that avidya from him. Parikshit, avidya was taken out of him and he realized who he is. So, so today, now, for us, we know everything else, but we don't know who we are. This is our state, right? So, but Acharya Swami is saying in this that it is atyanta prasiddham, nitya siddham it is. You already got it, but because of avidya, you are separated from that, right? And when the mind got caught up in the world, right, especially to sense objects, right, then we have to protect yourself from that, not to get caught up in the world outside. And that is sannyasam. Basically, that's what it is. Sannyasam means pulling this world from the world outside and bringing it inside to Antaryami. If you have done that, then the world has gone, sannyasam has happened, right? So basically, sannyasam means is protecting yourself, right? And means giving up everything else, right? That means giving up all the involvement which is unnecessary. Unnecessary involvement in this world, right? And the knowledge what is not necessary, giving it up, right? For example, certain things you can't give it up. As long as you have a body, you have to eat. That is necessary, right? And similarly, you have to sleep also. So, because only if you have those things, the body will survive. Otherwise, body won't stay. And keep maintaining the body in that way, only liberation is possible. So you can't give up everything like that. The world has to leave. But essential things like the body's maintenance has to carry on. Right? So, So eating, sleeping, like the essential bodily functions has to continue. That cannot be given up like that, right? And Acharya Swami says that just because you don't eat the food, you are not going to have the knowledge of the self because of that. They are not directly connected, not eating and having the knowledge of the self, right? So therefore the basic discipline is required, eating, sleeping, similarly, light exercises to keep the body functioning, right? But you have to remain in that state and not do anything more than what is minimum required to maintain the body. What is minimum required for maintaining the body, right? So that means in the name of spirituality, it should not become abnormality in the name of spirituality. Minimum things required to maintain the body. That is the way all spiritually advanced people look after the body. Minimum what is required, that food is concerned, sleep is concerned, exercise is concerned. But that is not how it is these days, is it not? Because we are thinking we are this body, and looking after the body alone has become the goal of life now. Is it not? That's the way life has become now. But that is not acceptable. Looking after the body alone. No. Life is for spiritual realization. But body is only a vehicle for that. So you have to maintain the vehicle to realize the self, while till you realize the self. To that extent you have to maintain the body. As far as eating, sleeping and exercising and all this is concerned. That is the way it is to be seen, right? Yeah. That means in the name of spiritual life, it should not become abnormal in any way, right? Like people will say that, otherwise if you become abnormal, people will give you trouble. Look at him, he's wandering around without clothes, without eating anything, right? And you will you'll be blamed for that. You'll be blamed for that, right? And no one can help us at that time. So in order to elevate ourselves individually, right, you have to live a balanced life and make progress in that way, right? You should not become unbalanced and go down further, right? If you go further down, then it will become a problem, right? And there is no point in blaming Shastram and spiritual life for that. That means sometimes not understanding spiritual life properly, you are doing certain things, thinking that you are making spiritual progress, and giving up eating, getting sick, or giving up sleeping. All kinds of things people do. People understand things in a different way, right? You saw that, just I was listening to that, this Nirjala Ekadashi. What an amount of fuss has been made out of it. You know, our sannyasis are talking about it as though this Nirjala Ekadashi, if you did this, Pandavas did that, you go straight back home, back to Godhead after that. If it was that simple. People get affected by all that. And some people, sometimes Nirjala Ekadashi may not suit for everybody, according to their health conditions and all that. So, but when you misunderstand Puranam like this, Ekadashi and everything is coming from Puranam. So Puranam's instructions, you can get easily carried away by that. Sometimes some people become very dogmatic about things. And then they force it on others as well. They'll ask you, are you doing Nirjal? They say. If you see you're not doing Nirjal, it says no choice then. Finished, you have no hope. Your case is lost case. It's not, you're not going to make it, he says. And I know some devotees who used to do it very rigidly and now they're completely given up. After some time. They couldn't do it. They started because Tattvajnanam is not there. All these, holding on to all these kind of things and thinking that they got it. Because they've taken it very seriously, or this kind of ritual side of it, yeah. And they'll do everything like a machine, they will do, operate on a daily basis. And then suddenly one day they get tired and they lost all the faith and then they go on holidays after that. So this is what happens, how it happens, right? Because Tattvajnanam is so important. How you understand the Shastram, how you are relating with Shastram is important to know. So here you can see that, yeah? And then you blame the Shastram for that. And then you blame spiritual life for that. Then you blame the Guru for that. all kind of things. We put faith, because we lost our faith in the whole thing, right? So, so Yoga Vasishtam says about all these things, right? Knowledge is there, but how to get that knowledge back, what we have lost? Krishna is present inside. You don't have to go travel very far to find Him. He is there right inside. And He has come and taught us and He has gone away, disappeared, that form has gone, right? But He taught us that He is very much inside, and He says this to Uddhava, Uddhava, I will be present in the Bhagavatam here after I leave this world, right? So, Upanishad says just like if you consider your heart as a lotus flower, and in that lotus flower how a bee comes and sits there, in the similar way, this thing called soul is present as Antaryami inside us. Krishna is present inside as Antaryami in our heart. Paramatma. Right? So, all this is is there in the commentary, right? So, so this hypnosis, what we have from the world outside, it's a hypnotized state. The world is so important, and everything what's happening in the world matters. In that way, that hypnotism has to leave us, and then when you have received that proper mercy from the Guru and Krishna, then in order to do that, you also require a good guru, realized soul. Only he can help. A realized soul only can help, right? But you also have to get, it's not good enough if you get a good guru. Good guru means a realized soul. In Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you don't see anywhere spoken about a guru who is not realized. It's not. Tadyuddhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshina. Tattvadarshi means realized one. Tattvadarshi. He has seen the truth. He is a guru. In Bhagavatam also, madabhijnam gurum shantam upasidam adalpagam, says in the Ekadasham. So that is the standard. Guru's standard is that realized person. Right? But it is not good enough if you have a guru like that. You also require the Antaryami's mercy. Krishna's mercy, along with that. Guru Krishna Prasadaya, both required Guru's mercy as well as Antaryami's mercy, right? If you have not received Antaryami's mercy, whatever Guru has taught you, you won't understand it properly. That's the problem. Because it is Antaryami who is listening everything. Even what the Guru is nothing but an external manifestation of Antaryami. Guru Tattvam is like that. Guru is nothing but an external manifestation of the Antaryami inside, you know, to push us from outside, from the world, to inwards. And Antaryami from inside pulls you inwards. This is how the role is. Guru comes as, Antaryami comes as Guru outside in a form, and to change and change our outlook from the world outside inwardly towards the soul. That is the Guru's role outside. Antaryami from inside, he pulls us inwards towards him. So if the Antaryami's support is not there, mercy is not there, you won't understand it properly, what that principle is, right? Possibility is that whatever Guru has spoken, you will understand in a different way, right? And then you will also insist that that's what it is, right? So that is what he says, Antaryami's Kripa. If Antaryami's Kripa, what that means is, your buddhi is in the right place. Buddhi can see things properly and able to accept it, right? And mind will also become very peaceful, shanti, right? And you will understand things in the proper way. Labdha guru, atma prasadam. That is what he is saying. You see that in the bhasham it says, bahyagara nivrta buddhinam to labdha guru atma prasadanam ta ada param sukham suprasiddham buddhi jnayam swasannadharam asti tathaja uktam pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. Yeah. So, Krishna has said this in the 9th chapter, in that Rajavidya Rajaguhyam verse, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagaman Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Aviyam. He says it's not a very difficult thing. You can perceive it directly, Pratyaksham. Directly perceive it, Pratyakshavagaman Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Aviyam. And it is done very easily. So you can see where that is coming from. That is this verse talking about, right? So sometimes people say like this, that if you get that, a contact with a Mahapurusha, Mahatma like that, yeah, who has reached that state, if you get that association, right? And Shastra Jnanam, knowledge of the Shastram, what Krishna has spoken about, right? When you didn't have neither of these things, right? You didn't get the Shastra Jnanam, you didn't have the... Shastra Jnanam means Andaryami's mercy. That is Shastra Jnanam. And Guru role is that he puts you in the right track from outside. Shastra Jnanam from inside, right? When somebody don't have that, but at the same time there are people who have become very scholars in this field, right? And they are saying sometimes that this spiritual field is very abstract. They come out with this statement. It's very abstract. Nothing is very clear. You know, they get to this kind of statements about it, right? And that is why Acharya Swamiji said there, in the Bhashyam you can see that, he has analyzed all types of counter-arguments against self-realization, right? He's saying here, Kechit tu panditam manya nirākāratvāt ātmavastu na upaiti buddhihi ataha dusādhyam samyat jñānanishta iti ahu. They are saying because ātma doesn't have any form, that is why it's so difficult. Ātma doesn't have a form, it is consciousness, isn't it? Awareness it is, right? So, therefore, they are saying that buddhi cannot help you very much. And therefore, to get established in the knowledge always is very difficult, right? They say like that, he says, right? And Acharya Swamiji answers that. He says about that, right? He says, it is true, but for whom, he says, right? One who does not have a proper guru. Guru sampradaya rahidam. That's what is in his next bhashyam, he says. Satyam evam, what you are saying is true, with buddhi you won't understand, but for whom? Guru sampradaya rahidanam, ashuga vedandanam, atyanta behir vishaya asakta buddhinam, samya pramaneshu, agrada shramanam, tad vibaridanam tu laukika grahya grahaka dvaida vastuni sad buddhihi nidaram dussambadyam atma chaitanya vidiregena vastu andarasya anubalabdhe. He put it in very strong words. He is saying there that what he said is true, that spiritual life will be very abstract for you because you don't know the guru shishya sampradayam, he says. You are not educated in that way. Spiritual master, disciple. Because you see, lot of these scholars nowadays talk about it. They have gone and studied in the university. There's a loads of universities and they have not been trained in that old system of Gurukula system. They are not used to this concept of Guru. But they are learned. They learned Shastram from the university. You can go and that's what it is said that you shouldn't go to university to study anything related to spiritual life. And even we have also fallen to the same trap, is it not? You've got all these institutes for Vedic studies or Hindu studies and all that. And what is happening there? This principle is missing. What is that? Guru Sampradaya Rahidanam. It won't work. You've got to have that system of Gurukulam, a proper realized soul, teacher, guru, like that, and Krishna showed that also through Sandipani Maharshi and all that. That's the idea behind this. Is the only system it will work. Guru Sampradaya Rahidanam. Then he says, Ashwada Vedantanam. Vedantam has not been heard properly. And he has not understood the Vedanta Tattvam, right? And then, Atyanda Bihir Vishaya Asakta Buddhinam. His mind is so involved in the world outside. He won't understand it, he says. Samya Pramaneshu Agrada Shramanam. Right? And he is talking about it, what Pramanam he does not know. And they are the one who talk all these things. He is saying like this, right? Atad Vibhiridhanam to Laugiga Grahya Grahaga Dvaida Vastuni Asadbuddhi. Right? And then he said, that nidaram dusambadhyam atma chaitanya vidrejena vastu andarasa anibalabdhe. And because of this involvement in the world outside, right, their buddhi and the mind, they find it difficult to accept the Veda Pramanam, Upanishad statements, Upanishad's Pramanam. They are questioning that. Ajahn Swamiji won't agree with that. He says, you start questioning the Pramanam of the Upanishads, then you better don't open your mouth. That's what his advice is. He said, you have to accept the Rishi's conclusions as it is, without any questioning that. So these people, what they do, they come, they study in the university and take all their degrees and they know the language well. And then they think that they can even question Upanishads. They come to that. The mind goes like that, drags them with their intelligence and start questioning everything. There's so many of them like that nowadays. And there's always fight going on. They destroy people's faith in the Shastram by talking nonsense like that. And they want to make themselves more important in the society because of their ego. And a lot of these people who are doing this is doing a lot of harm and destroy others' faith in the Shastram. Even though Ajahn Swamiji said this, the people are today, a lot of them like this, and you can see them coming up in the television programs and all that, and they create a lot of disturbances, difficulties for others, right? So, that is what he is saying here, that whereas people who have followed that process, right, in the Guruvakya Shravanam, in their case, they will not accept anything like this because their faith in that Upanishads is so strong, right? But whereas these people don't have it. That's what he's saying again. Yathacha etad evam evam na anyatha idi avochama uktam cha bhagavata yasyam. He's quoting here that Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavad Gita. How? He has said in the second chapter, Yanisha Sarva Bhudanam Yasya Jagrati Samyami Yasya Jagrati Bhudani Sanisha Pashyato Mune. That famous verse, right? He says, if you understand that verse, you won't talk like this, he's saying. Ajahn Swamiji is saying that. What does that verse say? He says, spiritual realization and the world of spirituality is different. The introspective sage, he lives in that world. Yes, in the second chapter. If you look at that verse, you can see that. 69. Yanisha Sarva Bhudanam Tasyam Jagrati Samyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhudani Sa Nisha Pashyato Mune. He is bringing that to tell us that for ordinary people, what is night for us, this for self-realized soul is awake. And when we are awake, the self-realized soul is sleeping. This is not a physical thing. You know, so many subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita. Then when you start reading first time, you start thinking, I'm awake now, so I will stay awake when they are awake. That's not what that means, right? So if you see the commentary on that, Ajahn Swami's commentary on that, such an extensive commentary has given, how avidya works in a person, right? When avidya is present in a person, you are a jiva, right? So, tamogunam is present, tamasvabhava, sarva bhudanam, sarvesham bhudanam. And because of that, avivegam comes. And that avidya state is called a darkness. Nisha. Nisha means darkness. So, ya nisha sarvabhudanam. Our avidya state is that darkness or night for us, right? Avidya state is our night time. And sthidapratnya, because it is spoken in reference to sthidapratnyato, right? Krishna spoke about sthidapratnyato, steady intelligence. Is that one who is in that state, only he will know what is truth, what Krishna calls as tattvadarshi. Yeah. So, yanisha sarvabhudanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sa nisha pashyato muni. The same thing he is quoting here. He says, Krishna has already said that is the truth. You are not in that world. You are living in the other world. So, that world where they have woken up, where normal living entities are woken up, that means when we are operating in this avidya, and this world is darkness for that introspective sage. For the sage, our life is darkness because we are living in avidya. That's what that verse is referring to. Yanisha sarvabhudanam sya jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhudani sanisha pashyadomani. So, when we sleep, in other words, then for Atmajnani, for the Muni, who is self-realized, for him, our ignorant state, where we are sleeping now, we are active within our avidya state, is darkness for him. He cannot come down to this world of ours, this world of avidya. He cannot come down here, right? So, that's what he is saying here, that that has been spoken before. And he said that the tasmad, he says again there, tasmad, bahyagara bheda buddhi nivrtihi eva atma swarup alambane karanam nahi atma nama kasyajit kadajit aprasiddha prapto heya upadeyova. So unless buddhi becomes free from the namarupam and the world outside, bahirupam, right, bahirupam, unless buddhi comes out of that, that's the only way atma can be known. That's the only way atma can be known. You see, buddhi is trapped in the world with so many things, right? These are all extremely subtle things in Vedantam, right? And that requires daily practice it, daily studying it, and daily developing this understanding. If, as I said so many times, that Jnanamargam is a difficult process, if you want to follow that process, right, then what option we have is Krishna shelter. It all comes to that at the end. That whatever Krishna has spoken is perfect in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Bhagavatam to Uddhava. Everything is perfect. But like Uddhava did and Arjuna did also, asking Krishna for mercy to give this knowledge to us, as Antaryami, he is present inside us. So only, it all depends on Antaryami's mercy, to what extent you will succeed in this. It is his mercy. You are dependent on that. If Antaryami gives you some insight, you will get these realizations. Otherwise you won't. By your own effort, you won't get it. So best thing is to chant the holy name, take shelter as much as possible, and cry to him to give this realization somehow. Because perfection, knowledge is great. It is, don't find it anywhere else, this knowledge. It is perfect knowledge coming from the perfect source. But for that to assimilate inside us, by our own effort, it won't happen. Few people, very few, who have practiced bhakti in previous lives, when they come in this life, straight away they can jump into it. Very few people who can do that. You can notice them that also in this world. They have succeeded in doing that. And you start thinking, how come they are able to do it? I am not able to do that. Because of the purvavasana inside. When we don't have that purvavasana, we are beginners in spiritual life. For us the only option is surrender to Krishna by all means as possible. At the same time, appreciate the shastram. Because this is knowledge, what Krishna is saying here. This is the truth. There is no other truth separate from this. Therefore, rishis are saying, we don't do research on the truth anymore. We have accepted already what Krishna has given us. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, all this is the authority. There is no further, research required. Science will continue its research process. Let them do so. But for us, no research is required. Knowledge is perfect and knowledge is available. But to experience it and to come to this stage, Krishna's mercy is the only hope for a devotee. Devotee surrender, appreciating this knowledge, understanding its potency and the power involved in that. So he's saying here that tasmat bahyagara veda buddhi nivrtihi. Bahyagara veda buddhi. Buddhi, when it goes outside, what that says is veda buddhi becomes. Buddhi becomes veda buddhi. Bahyagara, busy with the world, right? Nivrtihi. You have to come out of that. Eva atma swarupa alambane karanam. Totally dependent on the support of the Atma. Only Andaryami can help, right? Nahi, Atma nama kasid kadajit. And that's the only way of knowing Him. The knowledge of the Self is available for anyone, right? It is not something that you have to reject or accept it, right? Because it's already there inside us. Krishna is present inside us, Andaryami, and the knowledge is also there. All it is required is to remove that avidya, he's saying here. Kasajit kadajit aprasiddham prapto hai ubadeyava. There is no question of accepting or rejecting anything, only removing the avidya from inside. Once it's done, it's there. So, we will stop there, we'll continue tomorrow then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.